All right, welcome back. Crazy day today, and it's Wednesday, so maybe we'll slide into the end of the week with a little less stress. It's often beyond belief the amount of information that is coming and going here, trying to get the news done and posted for you. It's on the way. It should be posted in a few minutes, hopefully. A lot of very good things in there, good to consider. Just one quick note about Ukraine. Gonzalo Lira, the American-Chilean-born journalist who was locked up for 90 days because he was criticizing the Zionist Bolshevik regime in Kiev, got out. They let him out, and he said he's going to leave the country. He was going to try and get across the border and make it to Hungary. Well, he's vanished. That's according to his friends who he's staying in touch with. So I don't know. That whole thing is so black over there. If Americans had a backbone anymore, they would never have allowed this. Never. It's completely unconstitutional. It's crazy. And I am ashamed, but I understand why Americans no longer have a backbone. I get it. And I think most of you get it as well. All right. With that, let's step into our important update on the COVID Chronicles front with a lot of information. This is, again, the most astounding crime against humanity in recorded history. The dispersion of this biological weapon, which has, as you know, if you've been listening to Eric and I for any length of time, many, many ways of destroying life. It's anti-life. It's owned by the Pentagon, if you're new to the program. It's owned by the DOD, that's correct. It's not any kind of a medical issue. It's not for your health. It has nothing to do with vaccinating you against anything. It's killing people. That's all it is. End of story. And if you're not dead and you had it for a year or two, God bless you. I hope it lasts. But we do believe in general that the data, the hard data, the evidence, the proof is that once you've been injected with this, you probably have any number of things that you might not notice, but you have them. Now, many people do notice them, such as pericarditis, but you wouldn't notice sludge blood. You might feel a little tired and run down. But when you compare the blood of the vaxxed against the unvaxxed, and unfortunately, before Erica says anything, which she will, the unvaxxed are also showing it now because of, that's your cue, kid, because of
shedding.
Atta girl. See, she always comes through. Anyway, it's the Jeff and Erica research hour for you, and we're collating and bringing information forward that you're going to find in many cases nowhere else. And that's not bragging, that's just a fact. If you still believe in graphene oxide hydrogels, good luck. If you don't understand that that's all bullshit, and that this whole alt news media is either created, controlled, or corrupted by the big money international elite that are running this country and the Western world into the trash can, the dumpster of history. It's that simple. So, again, I don't blame Americans for not standing up when they don't understand what the hell's being done to them. And many of them who understand it now don't want to confront that. I wouldn't. And all of you dear people out there who are listening, who are vaxxed, we care just as much about you as anybody else. You know that. But what can we do? More and more people are making more and more money on you selling you supplements. And a lot of it is real crap. A lot of it's good, but who's going to tell you the truth? Well, we try to. Anyhow, it's a very difficult picture out there, and we're very honored to have you here. We really care, and we appreciate all of you. So, all right. Anything new, young lady?
No, it's just more of the same.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I think a lot more unvaxxed people are suffering the effects of shedding now. People who have been dealing with it for, in some cases, 2 years, are in some cases getting worse. And people that never had issues with it before are now, they've become sensitized to it, which is understandable when you're being saturated with a toxic protein that is designed to antagonize or engage your immune system. It's just a matter of time before you hit that threshold, and then you too are going to be reacting negatively to it in probably one of four different ways, when you consider that there's four different types of hypersensitivity reactions that can follow. In many cases, it may go on to evolve into a autoimmune condition.
Not being vaxxed is really
no peace of mind with you know, the number of people who have been vaxxed who are now shedding this material and contaminating the environment, contaminating the airspace.
And how about contaminating the blood of the unvaxxed, turning it into sludge, too? We're seeing that.
Yeah, acquiring that protein can have a number of different effects on the blood, clotting being one of them, vasculitis or endotheliitis, which is inflammation of your blood vessels.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but you told me something really interesting yesterday or last night. I can't remember, but you said that think of the entire vasculature. That means veins, arteries, capillaries, the inside of your body, as having been shredded by the spike protein. And the debris from the damage to the endothelium is floating around in the blood and probably agglutinating along with amyloid plaques and other materials, making some of these amyloid clots. Your system, your plumbing has been just ruined.
Yeah, yeah. Some people have said that they can almost feel like their veins and arteries are on fire.
I've heard that, and that makes sense. Let me repeat one thing I said the other day when Nurse Ann was on Monday, and I hope all of you will listen to that program. And for God's sake, spread it around. It's up there in the archives. But the sludge blood, which we came across how long ago? A year and a half? I don't know. Long time ago.
Yeah.
When we first heard about it. Your heart is not designed to pump sludge. It's designed to pump liquid. Your blood is no longer liquid in the sense that it should be. It's sludge. If you don't believe it, look online, do a little research, look for vaxxed blood clotting, and look for images. It's sludge. We've posted many pictures of this. It's not a free-flowing liquid anymore. It's like almost a gelatin. It's crazy. So the heart can't do it, and the heart will eventually give up, and it goes into all kinds of different spasms and AFib, and if the ventricles of the heart are just sitting there quivering and not able to pump, you're done. And that's what happens. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I got to get that out there, though. It really bothers me.
Well, the last thing I would add to this, by no means the least, is the alterations in the gut microbiome that is happening as a result of the spike taking up residence on the ACE2 receptor throughout the intestinal tract.
Exactly. And there's ACE2 all over the intestinal tract.
Yeah, it's very, very prominent in that part of the body. And in addition to the kidneys and the heart, you know, almost everything has an ACE2 receptor. But it is critical for maintaining the body's blood pressure and electrolyte balance, among other things. But in the gut in particular, when that ACE2 receptor is not functioning because there's a spike protein sitting on it, you cannot absorb your tryptophan, so therefore you're not going to make serotonin or melatonin, and that is significant. But you're also not going to be able to make your antimicrobial peptides that maintain the balance of your gut microbiome, the bacteria that live in your gut. They need to be able to manufacture antimicrobial peptides so that things like E. coli or Salmonella don't take up residence there. In addition to creating peptides that communicate directly with the immune system, but that's, you know, rather complicated at that point.
Everything.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. All right.
And we have a lot of people reporting, I mean, these are unvaxxed people reporting diarrhea now, and that is likely why.
Makes perfect sense. Yep. Yep. This is all such a complex thing, and as the days and weeks and months go by, it seems like the manifestations of really cataclysmic problems in the body are beginning to manifest and become obviously visible and observable and detectable by tests. So when you go into the healthcare system looking for help, all you're going to do is get volleyball to four or five specialists, and they'll run 20 or 30 tests, bleed your insurance dry or whatever you're on, and tell you, well, you've got this and that and the other thing, and there's really not much we can do about it. That's what they're going to tell you, because they're dealing with a bioweapon attack on humanity. And
these allopathic doctors are working with limited tools anyway. They're not in a position to help these people.
They should be listening to this program. They might learn something. A lot of them don't know anything, much of anything. Very
no,
bad.
No, no. And they certainly will not acknowledge shedding.
Oh, no, because they have to deal with it if they're not vaxxed.
There's that, but they don't have any answers.
There are no answers.
They're at a loss to explain it.
No, the only answer is to self-isolate as much as you possibly can. And do take the supplements that will give you a bit of an edge. A bit of an edge. You know what they are by now. Here's a note that you found. I don't know where you got it. It came off a Twitter post, I guess. And it was someone replying to Peter McCullough. And the person said, now, this is very telling. And remember what we've discerned recently, that ERs and more than one place are saying, we really only treat heart attacks and strokes anymore. What does that tell you right there? These are actual statements from ER personnel. Where do you go with a broken leg? Walmart? Good luck. Get some duct tape. I have been working 9/11 emergency calls for over 30 years. I haven't seen this many working age people or younger found dead in their homes, having had cardiac and stroke events in my lifetime. So
yeah.
Cardiac, heart attacks, and strokes, that's what the ERs are seeing. That's practically all they're able to deal with. And you can wait over 20 hours to be seen with that kind of an issue, unless you code right there on the hall, and then they'll have to pay attention to you. These are younger people now, all the time, all the time. It's not just seniors. And,
no,
and
it's
children, I fear to even think about children anymore. And you have, and I don't want to get into any specifics, but you have something in your neighborhood. One of your neighborhood people was stricken with something and just finally came home.
Yeah.
I think we can understand what probably happened in that case. And it's probably being mirrored all over the country, things like this. But
you
want to run down that any, it's worth it. No names, no locations, but.
Well, a couple of months ago, this is somebody in the neighborhood. He was vaxxed. It was on his Facebook page a couple of years ago. I mean, everybody's seen that by now, I think, the virtue signaling when they got their vaccine. Let's do it. A couple of months ago, he thought he had a bladder infection. So went to his doctor or the ER urgent care and was prescribed antibiotics and didn't really take care of the pain. Evidently, there was some pain in his lower back. So upon completion of that round of antibiotics, things continued to deteriorate, and the pain in his back was so bad that he really couldn't get off the couch, really needed assistance. And this is not a small person. Couple days of that, one morning he not only couldn't get off the couch, but turned pale white, at which point they called the 911, and they came and got him and brought him to the local hospital. Well, they couldn't deal with it, so he was shipped off to a bigger hospital, and it was determined that he had an infection in his spine, and not just any old infection, a MRSA infection.
MRSA meningitis.
They said it was not meningitis, so I'm not sure what it would have been.
I don't know either. Having had meningitis, it's anyway.
But this, in order to get it under control, he required some surgery, and it was fairly involved and fairly risky. Well, he made it through that, and now here we are 2 months later, and then he was released and able to come home. But he came home in a stretcher. You know,
brought him home in a paramedic ambulance and took him out and carried him into the house on a stretcher. Not even in a wheelchair, on a stretcher.
Yeah, stretcher, yeah.
Now, I think all of you can connect the dots here about this man's future, and he's one of tens and tens of millions who have been severely injured, in all likelihood, by complications of the vax. I've never heard of meningitis treated by anything other than antibiotics, and if you have viral meningitis, they can't treat it with that. And now surgery? I don't know what the hell that's about. But he obviously was significantly and clearly severely damaged. So whatever. And who knows what else is going on. They only look for so many things at one time. I get the feeling that if you go to an ER, there's no effective broad-based screening for bioweapon profile damage. They don't have a protocol, a screening specifically for all those things that we know now are resultant of these injections.
Well, you know, it can be almost anything. I mean, there's probably five typical things, you know, issues with the blood,
right?
Issues with perfusion, strokes, heart attacks.
Well, my first question is, what should the first question be of almost anybody who reports to an ER? The first question. It's obvious.
Yeah, it is to us.
They don't ask it. How many shots should be right the first thing that the admitting
nurse
takes?
The doctors, from what I understand, the majority of them are still believing that these people are suffering the effects of COVID.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
All I can say. All right. Now, we have another issue, and I had a note from somebody I've known for a long time. First of all, there's an article up in the archive, why do people's personalities change after the COVID, their word, vaccination? All right. We're seeing this and hearing this more and more. And it first started maybe, I don't know, what, 4, 5, 6 months ago, I started hearing about people complaining about personalities not being the same as they were. Now it's becoming much more clear that this is damaging. It could be spike microclots in the brain at the capillary level, killing off small micro parts of the brain. Whatever part you can choose, the blood goes wherever the blood goes, the spike goes, so does microclotting. It could be caused by that. We don't know. I got a note today, short note, from Ted. I'll leave it at that. Not Brewer. Something is happening to people everywhere. Perhaps this is a new weapons test. People are becoming incredibly angry over the most petty of issues. Have you seen this out there where you are? So there's another one. And this gentleman is works at home most of the time, doesn't go out much, and he's noticing it too. And I'm sure many of you listening right now have friends and loved ones who are just not the same. And a lot of it manifests as anger, testiness, people nasty, short-tempered.
You know, when people are tired, and you can imagine if your blood looks like that,
no.
You're not well oxygenated, you're not thinking well, you're tired, you get crabby. And if you're hearing any of what's coming out about how bad these shots are, and you're someone who took them, I'd be crabby too.
And the question is, why aren't Americans rising up like they did to protest the Vietnam War? And as we've said many times, because most of them feel lousy.
Mm.
They don't feel good. Let's just put it that way. They don't feel good like they... How could you? How could you? If you have
slugs for
blood.
Well, it's going to be very telling when this next booster comes out in, what, six weeks?
Yeah.
How many people are going to go for it and how they're going to try to, you know, ram it on people.
Market it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're expecting this fall the mRNA mix of flu and COVID.
And RSV. I think it's going to be a triple.
Oh, you're right. I forgot. A triple dose. Wow. And don't forget that...
You're really going to see some bodies drop at that point. If there's any left, I don't...
Well, if they brought your neighbor home on a stretcher and they carried him into the house, what kind of quality of life is that? And how are his? He's an older man. He's not, you know, in his 20s.
He's still working. He's not working now.
How's the family going to take care of that? I don't get it. Maybe as you said, the insurance ran out or something. I don't know. But it's just.
Yeah, that. I've been in that situation, and I mean, not directly, but I've had relatives that were, you know, needed care. That is a full-time job.
Sure it is.
Realistically, for somebody who is disabled, can't walk, can't bathe themselves, you need three people.
A live-in nurse or several a day?
Yeah, three. You know, 3 8-hour shifts. I don't know. I can't imagine this is going to really work out unless he can regain some mobility.
All right. Now, here's another one. The WHO vaccine passport push is getting worse. And we have this whole sovereignty issue of nation states, in the face of the effort by the WHO, to have each country sign a compliance and subservience agreement that they would allow WHO to take charge of that nation's destiny in the face of another pandemic. Think about that. How insane that is.
Mm.
That's what they're pushing.
Well, you know, these vaccines are not, first of all, they're not vaccines. They're not working. You know, the more these things are scrutinized, the worse it gets. There is malfeasance here. You could even say intent to murder.
Of course. Absolutely. I don't know why you
wouldn't
say that.
If these things didn't have this outrageous death rate, they might get away with something like that. Who's going to consent to that? Nobody who's left is going to willingly consent to that.
No. No way. Nope. Here's a short, and I hope some of you have been watching the Rents videos at the top right of the homepage. They're very good, very, very informed, very provocative commentaries on a lot of things. I've got one going up in news shortly about South Africa, and the producer of the video went back and got a program I did with somebody in South Africa in 2017, his name was Carl, and we laid it all out on the line. This is 6 years ago, and it's all coming to pass. And if you're not up to speed on South Africa, you're going to want to watch this video. You'll find it up there. It's there. Meantime, here's the World Health Organization. This is another video, a Rents video. It's 2 minutes long. It's short. But it gets right to the point. So let's play this and take a listen.
Negotiations are currently underway at the World Health Organization for new pandemic rules, aiming to adopt a legally binding agreement by May 2024 for the WHO's 194 member countries. These rules will include vaccine passports, which may restrict freedom of movement and access to goods, services, and health care. Those who refuse the passport might be treated as non-persons, and deactivated passports could result from vaccine refusal or holding dissenting views or opinions. We're about to show Robert Kennedy Jr. warning how your inalienable rights will become privileges that can be granted with conditions or taken away from you. Elon Musk also has expressed concerns about countries relinquishing authority to the World Health Organization. The Australian Senator Malcolm Roberts believes Australia should avoid ceding sovereignty to the WHO due to concerns about corruption and its ties to Bill Gates and WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus as an evil killer connected to a terrorist organization. However, Tedros denies the claim that the pandemic treaty will give the WHO excessive power, calling it fake news. Nevertheless, the WHO's plans to impose a vaccine passport worldwide, it's as a controlling and enslaving system which governments can tie to the emerging central bank digital currency. We are watching a global system of enslavement emerge. We must resist. Civil disobedience is one tool of resistance. It can range from non-compliance to overthrowing governments. We are heading for great tumult. Prepare yourself. Now watch Robert Kennedy.
Vaccine passport. Every right that you have is transformed into a privilege contingent upon your obedience to arbitrary government dictates. And what do we do about this? We resist.
Well, that's all you can do is resist. And I can just about guarantee you that the Bolshevik communist Zionist regime running this country will probably sign right up for that. It's part of the overall game plan. This is the end of the world as we knew it, and it's being done at warp speed, not to give Trump any credit, but it's the right word. It's being done incredibly fast. I'm just appalled at what I see every day. Just it stuns me, and I don't see the American people able or willing to mount any kind of a resistance at this point, even though many of them know they're being killed.
I know.
I don't know what it'll take.
I know.
All right, we have a video with a new video. Dr. Sukrit Bhakti. Dr. Bhakti made an appearance on the Laura Lynn Thompson. Help me out.
Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson.
Sorry. I thought it was Taylor. Tyler Taylor Thompson. All right. Anyhow, she does a good job. She's a Canadian. And Dr. Bhakti was on for a good amount of time, an hour and a half. We're just going to play a little clip of this. And she asks questions like, you know, what can we do? And Dr. Bhakti, of course, is nobody's fool. He knows that in most cases, there's nothing that can be done. Virtually nothing. This is not being reversed. You don't take a pill and reverse genetic damage.
Well, and it's made all the worse because of these DNA contaminants in it now. DNA is
plasmids.
Ripe.
Yeah.
Ripe,
yeah.
Yes. Particularly when it's linearized, if it's not in that plasmid form, but just strands of it, it is ripe for integration. Especially with that SV40 promoter, that or the enhancer rather, that drives it into the nucleus.
Mm-hmm.
That's very worrisome. And I know Kevin McKernan mentioned something. He did a recent interview with Peter McCullough, talking about how we need testing. We need to be testing these long vax people, vax injured people, for. To be able to determine whether this integration has actually happened. Right now, all we have is speculation and theory. It is possible, but has it really happened? And if it has, to what extent? So he is working on hopefully coming up with some ways to test this with pathologists where you could get a tissue sample or maybe a blood sample using monocytes and to determine if the DNA was uptaken by your body.
And again, I've got to find this. I found, and I got another distribution. I'm on a mass mailing list, and I got today another one. Let's see. I don't like knocking people, okay? I just don't. But a lot of people are flat misinformed, is the polite way to put it. But in reality, when you look at the information that is available out there, if you want to do any research, they're just dumber than rocks. The mass mailer came out today and it said, da-da-da-da-da. Here's one of the highlighted pieces in this mass mailer. Teslaphoresis of graphenated hydrogel with antenna surrounded by microfilary parasites in victim originating from COVID-19 injections. That's from Dr. Robert Zero Young. I don't even know how to begin to comment on something like that.
He's a fraud.
This is all fraud. All of it. All of it. Hydrogel.
He used somebody else's credentials to get his paper published.
That's right. The Italian scam. I remember.
Yeah. It's incredible.
I gotta read this again.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He really doesn't.
Teslaphoresis of graphenated hydrogel with antennae, that's plural antennae, surrounded by microfilary, that's plural, micro, F-I-L-A-R-A-E, microfilary parasites in victim originating from COVID-19 injections. Oh, my. All right. Well, there's another perfect headline and case in point. Whenever you see these words, these key words, graphene oxide, graphenated, hydrogel, self-assembling, nanotech, transmitting receivers, whatever, just run. Don't put that in your... It's entertainment.
It's nothing but entertainment.
Comic book crap. That's all it is. All right. So let's go listen to Laura Lynn TT and Dr. Bhakti here for a couple minutes. He's very good. I hope I have it right here. I think I got this queued up, right? Let's see. We'll find out. Here we go.
So one of the questions I want to ask you then, in McKernan discovering that the crucial step of removing plasmid DNA has not been assiduously undertaken. Do you think it's possible? Because right now listening to us are some devastated people because they took the vax. They did it for all kinds of reasons and they thought it was the right thing and they believed the liars. And they're upset because perhaps this means they're not feeling well and potentially if they didn't get a placebo, and I'd love to know if you think that we've had some, extensive placebos put in the mix of all of these vaccines. But is there a way for there to be an undertaking of finding how we remove the plasmid DNA from our bodies? Not mine. I did not take the vaccine, but someone who has. Is there a way? Do you think moving forward that we can save lives with that?
Wait a moment. Okay, let's go step by step. First of all, let me say that I think it's definitely, it's virtually certain that huge variations exist in the dose of packaged molecules, DNA and RNA. Because the packages themselves consisting of these weird lipids that are man-made, are manufactured in a fashion that is below, you know, it's simply bad. The manufacturing process is so bad that we are sure that many batches will contain leaky globules. Okay, they won't stand the test of time. They won't survive the transport, even. But how many perish on the way to your body? No one knows. We just know that this will happen. And this is a blessing in disguise, because it means that the people who got low doses or no doses will not suffer from the side effects. A blessing. Yeah?
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it tells us that the dose that you receive cannot be predicted. So there will be people who get large doses and people that get small doses of the poison. If anyone gets out of this and does not suffer from heart attack or cardiac arrest or, you know, brain alterations, get on your knees and thank God. But don't ever do it again. And remember that God, I'm a Buddhist, but I talk about God now because I'm talking to Christians. You know, actually, we feel very similarly. All religions in the world are united in a way, in that we believe that there's something divine. You know, there is something. God has made you resilient, meaning that if your liver is damaged, if your lung is damaged, if your spleen or thyroid is damaged, if your skin is damaged, it's bad. But most damage can be repaired, okay? And no one knows how long these plasmids, once they've entered the body, first of all, where will they enter the body? We don't know. How many cells are going to get, you know, infected by the plasmids? We don't know. When or where? How long they will persist in the body? No idea. I only know that it will probably be a matter of weeks or months. That's, you know, sort of guessing from the literature. But weeks or months of self-attack in an organ is not good. That organ has a lot to do to repair, okay? But I want to console you. Most organs can repair, and they will repair. And when all this nightmare is over, you might stand up again and recuperate. Could be. The two organs that cannot do it are the brain, the mind, and the heart.
Wow. If so that happens, the brain as well. The brain and the heart.
The brain and the heart. Yeah. That's why you see people, you know, with altered psyche, people change. Their whole personality changes. They become forgetful. They lose their intelligence, all right? They get these spasms, the jerks. They get palsies. That's because depending on which part of the brain is hit, and many parts are hit at the same time. This is what the pathologists are telling us all the time now. If you cut the brain, you see damage all over the place, which is very bad.
Very bad. Very, very bad. And as I mentioned earlier, more and more people are noticing severe personality changes in people. And if you understand and keep in mind that wherever the blood goes, goes the spike. And the spike will begin to cause microclotting. And it's a one-way ticket. The brain and the heart cannot repair themselves.
They That's cannot. Right.
Well, he's such a wise man. He's learned so much. He placed a lot of stock in the idea that some of the vaccines are more, we'll call it potency, more potent than others, some less so. It's hard to say how much difference that'll really make, because the mechanics of the injection and what's in the injection are very simple. It's the modified
right.
mRNA instructions which go into your body and take over your cells and order your cells to begin to produce the spike protein. Then we have the DNA plasmids which go into your body and order bacteria, as in E. coli, to begin to produce mRNA instructions. It's like you're getting continually vaxxed with more mRNA instructions to make more spike. This is a horror beyond measure. And I'm not trying to sound negative.
It really is.
It's true.
It never should have been done.
Well, they don't want this many people on the damn planet. That's the problem. And they are Satan. They are Satan's own. Every time I see a drag queen, I think the same thing. It's one of Satan's own. Okay, let's go and look at our human file. And we got a few minutes left here and do a couple of things. We've got, we talked recently about these infusion bars. Hey, let's go on down to the infusion bar, Erica, and I'll get a bag of EDTA and you get a bag of whatever, and we'll have a grand time. You get your iron. Go get a bag of iron at the infusion bar.
Yeah, right.
So we've got some stories about anemia and broken bones from iron infusions. I don't remember what that's about, but whatever you want to do.
Oh, that's a good one. Although this
broken
other
bones?
One is, broken bones or this anemia, anemic with petechiae.
Okay. Let's start with that. Go ahead.
All right. This person says, has anyone else gotten little red dots, almost like blood under the skin, on random parts of their body? With anemia? I have noticed them before, but it seems like there are more in more places now, and I was just curious. Well, there's some responses here that aren't very insightful. Someone says, yes, I've had that. I had my doctor check it out, and she wasn't concerned. I didn't know then that my iron was really low, so now I take an iron supplement. And we'll see if it improves, since I get them at random times. And original poster says, I fully plan on asking my hematologist about it at my next appointment. I found out I was iron deficient anemic, and I've been taking iron pills for a few weeks, and I noticed more of those dots and bruises. Other one says, please let me know what they say. I feel like my doctor really didn't know anything. Yep, I will for sure. Well, the little red dots are possibly a sign of microclotting, known as petechiae, or broken blood vessels. That's not good. That could turn into an emergency situation very quickly if that is happening. Hard to know, but I did post something to let her know that she probably ought to keep an eye on that and don't take it lightly.
All right. Petechiae. I never knew what they were called, those little red dots. You see them on people occasionally.
They're
small.
Very common in the days, weeks, sometimes months after the vax. And then, they are a hallmark of this microclotting. The worst would be the TTP, the thrombocytopenia, where you're both losing platelets and clotting at the same time.
Oh, that's cute.
And
yeah.
we had a number of people die from that when they were first rolling out the vax. I mean, they thought it was idiopathic, meaning they don't know what was causing it. Mm-hmm. Some people have issues with their von Willebrand factor, which is a clotting factor, and they're not able to break it down properly. So the blood clots for that reason, while at the same time not having enough platelets, all kinds of things. But this can very quickly, morph into something very, very serious. And I asked her, when's your appointment? Well, August 8th.
Uh-huh.
It's a bit away.
Yeah. Okay, broken bones from iron infusion. We've been talking about this for some time now, four or five programs in larger and smaller segments. Iron is a very, very complex issue in the human body, not something to self-diagnose and play with. Here's a post. I had an infusion yesterday, interjector, last time. Last time I had this was 4 years ago. What's interjector? Is that the brand name?
A type of iron infusion.
Okay. I had the interjector last time I had this was 4 years ago. Longest between infusions ever. Last one was the same iron. Problem. Today, I have a lot of pain. I have four different arthritises. I have lupus. Sjogren's. I have Raynaud. I have ILD. And I have broken over... Sit down for this one. AT as in 80 bones. 80.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we just for the record, she posted on her Facebook page that she's not only vaxxed, she's boosted.
How old a person is this? Do we know?
Oh, wow. She looks to be maybe 60-ish.
Mm-hmm. And there's some responses to that. Hypophosphatemia happens in about 50% of the people who get Injectafer and seems to be more common in people with existing conditions. The main symptoms are extreme fatigue and bone and joint pain. Hypophosphatemia support group. Go there.
So, hypophosphatemia... That's low phosphorus. Now, phosphorus has to be in balance with calcium. And so obviously she's got some problem due to the iron dysregulating her levels of phosphorus. And that's why mm-hmm. she's breaking her bones.
How does that impact calcium? You think of bones being a lot of calcium too, but it's a mix.
Yeah. Calcium has to be in balance with phosphorus. That's why, the phosphorus that's in soft drinks, that's why soft drinks are renowned for causing weak bones. It causes the calcium to leach out of the bones. And a high animal protein diet will do that, too, because it's very high in phosphorus.
Oh, yeah. Here's her picture. I see it on the next post.
Yeah.
Mid-50s.
And then go to the next post, and you'll see the virtue signaling with the COVID shot.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
She's four. She's a Vax fan.
Vax zealot.
Has no idea. She'll never be able to confront the reality of what she's done to herself. It's denial.
No.
Wow. Here's one, real quick. Is this important to do? Let's see. What does it say? Other symptoms. It has to do with CDS, MMS.
Oh, okay.
For clotting, mm-hmm. which is real quickie here. Go ahead and do that.
Are you taking MMS, Miracle Mineral Supplement, or CDS, chlorine dioxide solution? No, not yet. I've been aware of MMS and CDS for a while. But have just watched the course today. Would one be better than the other for suspected micro blood clotting and my other symptoms? Well, I would say no.
How do you address microclotting with that, with bleach?
Well, it's adding oxygen. I mean, they're both oxidative therapies, and the body is already maxed out in terms of oxidative stress, and you're losing things like glutathione. You can't recycle it because you're low on NAD or NADPH. It's the wrong approach to this. And some people, if you have a G6PD deficiency, you will deplete your... I mean, you'll develop hemolytic anemia, basically. Destroy your red blood cells that can go on to cause issues with your kidneys. It's not worth it. I've not seen anybody doing that protocol that has protected themselves from shedding. And that they still develop the clots. It's not a prophylactic, and I would say it's not a treatment either. It's the wrong approach. What has been shown to work for the spike is NAC, the quercetin, the bromelain, dandelion tea, green tea, the ECGC in green tea, curcumin, niacin.
Natto?
Yeah, did I say natto? Quercetin, bromelain, natto. Yeah.
Probably.
This idea that you're going to add, that there's some benefit to adding this oxidative stress to the body when it's already overwhelmed with oxidative stress really doesn't make a lot of sense. And I'm really concerned now that they're pushing, some of these hucksters are now pushing hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide, when it comes into contact with iron, will create the hydroxyl radical, and that is the most damaging free radical on the planet. You will oxidize your lipids, you'll oxidize your sugars, you'll oxidize your DNA. Bad news. Bad news. People should be looking more at molecular hydrogen, either inhaling it or drinking it. That is probably the most potent antioxidant on the planet that can diffuse across cell membranes and prevent the oxidative stress from this stuff.
Right. All right.
So people promoting these oxidative therapies do not understand the pathology, and I would just quit listening to them until they can show some proficiency in what people are actually suffering from. Then it's not worth it.
No, and more and more people are just placing some of these oracles of madness on pedestals. I just don't get it. I do
well,
get it.
I
shouldn't say that because it's all controlled and they're being obviously pushed for a reason because they are spewing crap.
They are, you know, in prominent positions all across the internet because they want you to see these people and ask yourself why.
Correct. All right, that's it for tonight. Thank you all for being here. We will be back again day after tomorrow on Friday. In the meantime, take good care and eat good food. You can always do that without having to spend any extra money. Don't eat the garbage. Don't poison your body any more than it's being poisoned. And we're all being poisoned. Make no mistake about it. Okay. Yep. Thank you. Great job.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
We will be back in a few minutes. Hold on.